You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Amen. John chapter 8 and verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning. I will be free. I will be free. Amen. When you read this powerful scripture in John chapter 8, obviously it's telling us that everybody, anyone that's sitting in this room this morning, anyone who's watching or listening online today, you can be free. I'm thankful that we can be free. If that wasn't the case, then there would be no need for us to come to church this morning. And so you may say, well, Pastor, free from what? Some people like being free from mosquitoes. So what are you free from this morning? So the Bible tells us very clearly, the Old Testament depicts kind of the incident where sin happened and the fall of man took place. And if you look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Abraham and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. The story of what you and I can be free from this morning is free from the power of sin. Amen. Sin happened right here in Genesis chapter 3 that I have read to you. In willfully rebelling against God, Adam lost his close communion with his Maker. And ever since that time, mankind has been emotionally naked and emotionally afraid and emotionally in hiding. And our problems all stem back to this very moment when mankind was separated from the presence of God. If you want to know why the world's in the mess it's in, it's because of this moment right here in Genesis chapter 3. Okay? It's not who's running this or running that or who's in charge and who's not in charge. That's not the reason. They may contribute to it not being any better or any worse. But it doesn't stem from that. It stems from the very moment that sin separated mankind from the Almighty God. And when that happened, when sin took place, then bondage took place in people's lives. And God expelled Adam and Eve from the garden, and they were no longer able to eat of the tree of life. There was an angel put at the garden with a flaming sword that, you're not getting back in. There's no way for you to participate in eating that you would be able to live forever with in Genesis chapter 3 that mankind is still dealing with today. People are still afraid, still emotionally naked, and still emotionally in hiding because of sin. But I've got good news this morning. I've got good news because I will be, you can be, you must be free. Hey, this morning when you and I become a Christian, the curse is reversed and wonderful things happen in a person's life because of salvation. Number one, all of your sins are forgiven. Paul writes to the church of Colossae in chapter 2, and he says, "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." I'm so thankful this morning that when Jesus died on Calvary, he opened the opportunity for you and I this morning to be free from the sin, hallelujah, that has bound our life since you were born. You were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. Sin has been the beginning of your life. You don't have to teach a child how to steal. You have to teach them how not to steal. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. Oh, I've got the perfect child. Let me tell you. They'll tell you that they didn't take the last cookie. And you know that they're the only person in the house. You don't have to teach them how to lie. You have to teach them how not to lie. Sin is something that happened automatically because you and I were born. But I'm thankful that he took your sin, my sin, and nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. And you and I this morning have the opportunity for our sins to be forgiven. He doesn't just take away your sin. You become a child of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe," amen, "on his name." He didn't just forgive you and leave you out there. No, he adopted you into his family. He grafted you into his vine. He called you his own. He sealed you with his spirit. He wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. He became your heavenly father. Amen. The Savior of your soul. You became his child. Amen. I'm so thankful, amen, for the power of salvation that happens in a person's life. Your sins can be forgiven. You can become a child of God. Thirdly, you receive eternal life. John chapter 5 and 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." This earth, this life is not the end. This is just the beginning. When you become a child of God, amen, he desires that where he is, you can be also. He's preparing a place for you even as we speak, hallelujah, that when he comes again, you are going to live with him for eternity. That's eternal life. You can't understand it. We can't comprehend how powerful it is when we think of eternity, because we dwell in time. Each and every one of us this morning had an extra hour of sleep. Now, if you're like me, you wake up at a certain time anyway. So I didn't get an extra hour of sleep. I just woke an hour earlier. That's okay. That's just the way I'm made. I was at General Conference in California, 4 hours difference. I was waking at 2 o'clock every morning. Time to get up. No, I can't. I can't get up at 2. I'm going till 3 in the morning. Can't do that. We're dwelling time. God doesn't dwell in time. He's before time. He'll be after time. Eternal life, amen, is hard to comprehend because we live in the process of time. But he's preparing a place that where he is, you can be also. Overcoming the curse of sin is you and I will be free.
Yeah.
You are delivered from Satan's domain, and you're transferred into God's kingdom. Paul writes to Colossians and says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son." You don't have to live under the pressure of this world, under the domain of this world, under the influence of the enemy. When you have your sins forgiven and you become a child of God, eternal life is in your future. You come out from underneath the grip of Satan and you become his. You're part of Jesus' kingdom. You become his own. Hallelujah. You are an heir with him. You are no longer a stranger and a foreigner. Hallelujah. But a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. You are going to be changed and be like him. I wish I could get someone with a little bit of excitement this morning, because I will be free. I will be free. I refuse to live, hallelujah, under the bondage of this world and under the influence of the enemy, because I am a child of the King. Christ come to dwell within you by his Spirit. When you become his, he takes up residence in your life. Colossians chapter 1 and 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. While you're putting in your years on this earth, he hasn't left you comfortless. He says, I'm going to take up residence inside of you. And when you were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ came to live inside of your life. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, today it's for you. He wants to live inside of you. Hallelujah. The curse of sin being broken and you becoming free. You talk about a liberty whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You become a new creation. Paul writes to the church of Corinth, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When your life is changed through salvation, you don't have to live the same way you've always lived. You don't have to be the same as you've always been. Well, Pastor, if you only knew what I came out of, and how I grew up, and what my family was like, and the things that I've done and I've been part of, and all these things. I hear story after story, day after day. I'm thankful that when God breaks the curse of sin in your life, you no longer are the same old creation you were back then. But old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. What you were is no longer what you are. What defines you back there is not defining you in your future. The enemy only defines you by your past, because he doesn't know your future. And God only defines you by your future, because he has forgiven you of your past. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about being free. You are declared righteous by God. Paul writes to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What Paul is saying is what you and I could not do, Jesus did for you. We would never, ever get good enough to get rid of sin. There's not enough things that you and I could ever do to break the curse of sin. But when he put salvation into your life, no longer are you determined by the righteousness of this world or the unrighteousness of this world. But you are determined by the righteousness of God, because he became sin for you. Oh. What I couldn't do, he did. And you can be declared righteous by God this morning because he took your place. And lastly, you are accepted by God. Ephesians chapter 1, to praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Salvation, amen, has changed my life from what I used to be to what I am today. I didn't attend church long enough to get good. I got God to get good. I didn't wait until I got good to get God. I got God so I could get good. Amen. Redemption happened in my life. Forgiveness of sins took place. He called me his child. He gave me eternal life. He took me out from underneath the bonds of Satan. And he dwelt in me through his spirit. I am a new creature that is righteous by God and accepted unto God because of salvation. You say this morning, is it that important? It depends if you want to be free. If you're happy living in the world that you're in, you will never desire to be free. You'll never desire to be free. But if you say, listen, I think there's something more than what I've got. I think there's something deeper than what I've experienced. I think there's something greater than I've ever had. I'll challenge you this morning. I'll tell you this morning without a doubt, if you haven't experienced salvation, you're missing out. And the enemy has been lying to people for a long time. Distorts the truth, deceives people. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. He's been doing it all the way back to Adam and Eve, and his tactics haven't changed over the last 6,000 years. And since the fall, God has been trying through salvation to reach every person that would believe on him, let their life be born again, and come into a relationship with him, that there could be a connection made that would break the curse of sin and allow the person to be free. In spite of Adam and Eve's sin, God's plan has always been to bring back to the destiny of his creation what he would like to accomplish through your and my life. Amen. The nature of salvation allows his character to start working in your life. And it is absolutely the opposite of what the enemy says about you. See, the lie of the world is, the lie is that it's your performance plus others' opinion that gives you your self-worth. My self-worth is not based upon how good I do and what other people think of me. My self-worth is not based on that at all. My self-worth is based upon a Savior that loved me before I ever loved Him. And I gave my life to Him. And He took me from what I was to what I am. And He's going to continue to take me all the way. What He has started in me, He is able to finish, complete, make sure I get to the end of where His desire is for my life. Your self-worth is not about your performance and other people's opinion. Some people become masters at playing the game. And to be successful and win, they look for the approval of others. Others have failed and experienced the pain of disapproval, just like you and I have. And so trying to get the approval of others, you're getting it from an imperfect position. So many people today are affected by what people say or think about them. How many clicks they might get, and how many thumbs up. I never have to worry about any of that. I don't have any of it. I don't worry about whether someone likes what I put or dislikes what I put. I've got my connection with Jesus Christ, and He calls me His child, and it will never matter what someone else says about who I am. I already know who I am in Him. It won't be based upon whether I had a neat little saying today that everyone liked or not. It won't be based on that. No. God has given me my acceptance, and I am in communion with Him. Oh, it's not just for me. It's for everybody in this room. I'm just talking from my own personal experience. It's not because I'm standing up here ministering to you this morning or I call myself pastor. That has no bearing. I had my relationship with God long before I became a pastor. I found out who I was with God long before I became a minister. Everybody in this room, you can find your acceptance from Him, and it won't rely on people at work, people at school, family members, people who like you today and don't like you tomorrow. It won't rely on what everyone else thinks. It relies on Jesus Christ died for you, saved you. You became His child. He filled you with His Spirit. He has made you righteous. He's accepted you. Amen. He took you out of the grip of this world, and now you belong to Him. Let me tell you, that's how I have found out who I am. Wow. How long have I been preaching? Okay, music, maybe you should come. A book that was written by Robert McGee called The Search for Significance has some great, great information about the things that people deal with today that the enemy deceives them in. First of all, he uses the performance trap. And the false belief of that is that I must measure up in order to feel good about myself. And you deal with the consequences of the fear of failure, and perfectionism, and driven to succeed, and manipulating others to achieve success. And you withdraw because of risk. Let me tell you God's answer for you this morning. Romans chapter 3 and 22. even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in the performance trap where you will never and I will never measure up. The second thing Robert McGee says is people get caught up in the approval addict. They must be accepted by others in order to feel good about themselves. And the danger of the consequence of that is the fear of rejection and attempting to please others at any cost. And people become oversensitive and they withdraw from others to avoid disapproval. But let me tell you God's solution for you this morning of reconciliation. Romans chapter 14, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Don't become an addict of approval, because you will deal with rejection. You will deal with criticism from other people. And there will be times when you will not feel good about yourself because other people are not speaking positively about you. But let me tell you, you are justified freely. Freely by Jesus Christ. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Robert McGee says, another problem that people deal with is the blame game. Those who fail are unworthy of love and deserve to be punished. And they deal with the consequences of always feeling like they're going to be punished, or people are blaming them, or they're scared to death of failure. People live underneath that at times. That's not freedom. That is not freedom. Freedom is 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He already knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows that already. But even when you make a mistake, he'll be your advocate. You don't have to pay for this lawyer. He'll take up your cause. He'll stand in the gap. He'll let people know, no, I purchased them with my own blood. They are my child. I took care of their sin. Hallelujah. Not only their sin, but the sin of the whole world. The last thing that Robert McGee says, people search for significance. And the problem is shame. I am what I am. I cannot change. I am hopeless. And the consequences of that is feeling of shame and hopelessness and inferiority. You withdraw from others because you feel like you're not good enough or you don't measure up. And let me tell you, that is a lie of the enemy. Because Titus chapter 3 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yeah, the enemy He would love for you to get caught up in a performance trap or an addict for approval or the blame game or overcome you with shame where you deal with the fears of failure and rejection and punishment and the feelings of shame. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live that way. You can be free. And it's salvation that has brought freedom to my life. Salvation can bring freedom to your life where you no longer are bound by the sins of the past. But they are forgiven and washed away in baptism. And He fills you with His Spirit. And He calls you His own. And He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He's preparing a place for you that where He is, that's where you can be also. Folks, this isn't a fairy tale. This is not just some cool words to say. In November of 2024, I'm telling you what the Word says. You don't have to be in bondage this morning. You can be free. I will be free. I refuse to live under the bondage of the world or the past or what people think. I'm going to allow my Heavenly Father to be my destiny. Stand if you would. I got a lot more notes, but not enough time. I don't know about you. I'm not just interested in having church, having a nice little service, and everyone coming together, and what a beautiful crowd this morning. Everyone that's watching or listening online, I'm so glad you've joined us. But I'm not just interested in pastoring a great church, putting in the motions this morning. I'm interested in people getting to hear that they don't have to live. They don't have to live in bondage, but they can be free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Let me tell you, your bondage this morning is the exact same as everyone else had to deal with. It's just the power of sin. You can name whatever sin you like this morning and say, that's what I have to deal with. That's what I deal with day to day. And it may be different things for different people, but they all come under the same umbrella of bondage. And that same umbrella this morning is sin. It's the one thing that separated man from God. And God's interested in having the connection reignited, reunited, regenerated in your life this morning, where you no longer are living in bondage, but you can be free. Say, Pastor, I gave my heart to the Lord a number of years ago, and I'm struggling. That can happen from time to time. See, what happens is the enemy would love to make you feel ashamed, blame, get you to be addicted to approval of other people. Just because you've been in church for a while, he doesn't stop trying to do those things to people's lives. But let me tell you, I'm here to remind you this morning, you don't have to get your approval from other people. He purchased you, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He has cleansed you from all sin. Amen. This morning, why don't you just allow yourself to be reignited if that's the case? Why don't you just allow yourself to be reunited with Him today? Hallelujah. Say, God, I don't want to fall under that bondage any longer. Hallelujah. I'm not going back to that. I'm not going to allow my life to be controlled by the things of this world. God, I want to be free. I will be. See, it's words that we use. They sound right. Someone says, I'd like to be free. I'm not using the word like this morning. I'm using the word will. I will be free. You know, I could be free. No, I'm not using the word could. I'm using the word will. I will be free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.